Welcome back to another episode of Tourism Geographies Podcast. My name is Stephen Pratt, and I'm coming to you from the University of Central Florida in Orlando, USA. I'm one of the editors of the journal Tourism Geographies. The journal Tourism Geographies is an international journal of tourism, space, place, and environment. We hope you've been keeping well since the last episode and look forward to learning more about cutting-edge research in tourism and geographies published in the journal. Now let's get to this week's episode. Okay, in this week's Tourism Geographies podcast, I'm fortunate enough to speak with Shirley Newland. Shirley, you did that research as part of your PhD.
Yeah, so I finished the PhD in December 2022. And after that, I left the university and I moved to Spain. So I now live in northern Spain. And from there, I work as a freelance researcher and advisor doing independent research and trying to make more change in practice based on the research that I did.
Great. And she recently published a paper entitled Urban Tourism Transition, Donut Economics Applied to Sustainable Tourism Development. Welcome, Shirley.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for making the time. Very hot topic, very interesting topic, not only applied to urban tourism, but the concept of donut economics. So can you just tell the listeners what motivated you to undertake this research?
Yeah, of course. So I did some previous research on sustainable tourism in cities for my PhD research. And I learned a lot of all the things that were not sustainable yet in the tourism sector in those cities, or how those things could be improved. But how to actually make that change, it wasn't really clear. And I think as academics, we like to make a lot of recommendations, but to actually stimulate such a change in practice, not so much. And then I thought, okay, how could I do this? How could I actually make a change in that instead of researching more of all the things that are not going well? Then I also came across the theory of donut economics, as you mentioned, and I felt it was really applicable to the tourism sector. And I decided to apply it to tourism and design a research that incorporated action-oriented workshops as a research method, to foster this change in practice and also to see to what extent such an economic model could be applied to the tourism, to a tourism context, and if it could help facilitate change and what barriers are there in doing so.
That's great. Now, the million-dollar question, donut economics is not about pastries and cakes. Can you explain to the listener what donut economics is?
Yes, absolutely. So donut economics is an economic model developed by economist Kate Raworth. And it is shaped like a donut, but it's indeed not about the pastry. It's just the visual to make it more comprehensible. But the basic principle of this model is that it forms an alternative economic model than the one that we are most familiar with. So the one that strives mostly for growth, but instead it tries to find a balance between wealth and the climate. So it puts ecological and social sustainability at the forefront instead of growing economics. And I applied this to tourism because I felt, okay, destinations can also not grow forever. There is also a limit to that. And this model of donut economics really challenges this idea, and it really challenges destinations and local governments to think about tourism in a different way. So to let go of this focus on growth and instead think about how tourism could contribute to social or ecological sustainability in the first place.
Nice. Thank you. So as you mentioned in the paper, it's an alternative to the growth model. So it focuses on degrowth and regenerative mm-hmm. tourism. Now, some readers also might be wondering, what's the difference between, in your words or in your thinking, between regenerative tourism and sustainable tourism? Are they the same? Do they overlap? Are they sort of, is it conceptual differences or how would you, if someone asked you the difference between the two?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. Because there is a lot of overlap also with the concept of degrowth and regenerative tourism, then also donut economics. Yeah, the main principle is more or less to move away from this idea of growth and placing something else instead, which for one part is sustainability, but then in the case of regenerative tourism, it goes one step further. So it's not only not doing harm, which is sustainable, but actually making a positive impact. So that tourism, we don't only minimize the negative effects of tourism, but we actually have a positive contribution on the destination.
Nice, nicely summed up. You're based in the Netherlands, and the work was situated in the Netherlands. Can you explain a little bit about the context for people that haven't been to aren't familiar as much with the Netherlands context?
Yeah, so the Netherlands, I mean, it's a really small country, and everything is within a few hours' reach. But the decision to choose the Netherlands was more a practical reason, mostly because my network was there, but also because I conducted the research during COVID. And for the research, it didn't really matter that much where the research was located, because it wasn't exploratory research. But I felt that the diversity was important in the types of cities, at least within the context of one country. So I included smaller cities, big cities, more historic cities, modern cities, and also in different regions of the country. And it was both city marketing organizations and also municipalities of those cities that participated in the research workshops.
Okay, great. And how did you collect the data? Briefly, it was a qualitative study?
Yeah, it was a qualitative study. It was a bit different than the usual qualitative study because I did the workshops, but during the workshops, I also made notes of the dynamics going on. And at the same time, I made a video recording so I could look back and go over what everybody said, what the questions were, and also what came out of the workshops. So during the workshops, the participants developed a plan and they made a poster with the plans on it. And I collected that in the end as well for analysis to include in the research.
Nice, yes. Difficult to do research in COVID times, I imagine.
Yes.
Any tips or tricks to, touch wood, there won't be another pandemic for another 100
years.
Yeah,
hopefully not.
what sort of challenges and how did you overcome them?
Well, when I started the first few workshops, I could still do them in person. So that was really nice. But then the other ones, I had to move them online. And there are really great tools for that. Of course, you have all the online meeting rooms. You have the online whiteboard Miro that I use to make the posters and have everybody interact. But in general, I felt it's much better to have the workshop actually to do them physical because you can get a lot of more nuances out of the conversations. You can be present at everything. And for example, in breakout groups, you just miss a lot when it's online. But yeah, it is possible. And I had to do with what was there, what was possible at the time.
Great. All right. Well, I'm interested to know, how did the donut look? What were the results of your research?
Yeah. So the model, the donut model, was really attractive, I think, to a lot of people that participated in the workshops. And it really helped also the destinations to connect the social and the ecological part of sustainability. And so a lot of plans also came out of the workshop on how a specific plan, a tourism project, could contribute to the ecological or social sustainability. And in the end, I think all of the destinations had for at least 10 aspects of the donut. For example, water quality, air pollution, plastic pollution, livability of the city. For each of those aspects, they had multiple plans that would improve city life, but also would improve the tourism product. And this was really nice, and I was really happy to see that. But at the same time, the growth thinking was still there. The destinations or the participants of the destinations, it helped them to rethink their strategies, and it also helped them to rethink this principle of growth and to start thinking about tourism in a different way. But mostly when it came down to finances, how to finance something or how much it would add up for the city, then yeah, this growth thinking still subconsciously came back into the conversation.
My sort of impression and feedback I get from many DMOs that are trying to be more sustainable, or, you know, really emphasizing the environmental and cultural aspects of tourism and how they can contribute to the well-being of the local community. The problem it can often be in the indicators used to measure performance of DMOs. So, you know, we say all this, or we give lip service to this, but at the end of the day, the DMOs maybe revert back to, we had this many visitors and it was a, you know, increase from the previous year. Was this something similar in Netherlands that you found?
Or? Yeah, this is something I found quite often, especially with the DMOs, as you mentioned, that they also mentioned that often the requirement from the local government, from the municipality, is that they have to show how much more tourists they attract, for example. And this was definitely one of the barriers. But I think also for themselves, even when it was not a requirement from the municipality, it's still something they fall back on because this is what they know, and it's really hard to find new indicators. How do you redefine what it means to be a successful destination if you don't have visitor numbers or visitor spendings to fall back to? What are you going to measure? What are you going to look at? What sustainable indicators are you going to include? So yeah, this is definitely a challenge, and I think it still is. It's an ongoing debate that I think also needs more research and more people in practice trying to figure out and making steps in that.
Yeah. So you completed the research, and it was quite action-based research. Mm-hmm. What have you seen since that, and where do you want to take the research? Do you want to build on it? You know, I see you mentioned in the paper that further research could be more longitudinal, so, you know, go back to waves perhaps, or continuously monitoring, or are there other avenues where you want to take this research?
Yeah, I think there is a big role for academia in doing this type of research and actually trying to foster change. And yeah, as I mentioned before, the workshops did help in rethinking tourism strategies, but of course, with one session, you're not going to change the whole system around. So I think for that reason, it is necessary and very important that there's going to be more research with long-term involvement, not only to foster this change further, but also because, yeah, if you're talking about action research and co-creation, how do you know what's going to happen after the research? And can you really speak of co-creation if you just had one session and then as a researcher, you're out and you don't know what's going to happen? So this is also one thing that I saw. I know some of the destinations, they did actually implement some of the steps that we discussed during the workshops. But for others, the priority was just not there. So after the workshop, not that much happened. So this is definitely something that I would like to take further. But also the point that you mentioned about indicators for success, to develop kind of a framework, yeah, that includes such indicators on how to measure what it means to be a sustainable or regenerative successful destination, instead of measuring the more traditional metrics of visitor numbers and spendings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was really, really interested that you applied the donut economics. I've read much about it, and it's been in the, you know, the popular online, the mainstream media. So congratulations on doing this research and applying it to tourism. Any comments or things that you would like to add, maybe, that you think we haven't covered?
No, I don't think so. I think this pretty much sums up the work that I did. And
great. Well, thanks for joining us on the Tourism Geographies podcast. As a reminder, I was speaking to Shirley Newland. She published a recent article in Tourism Geographies entitled Urban Tourism Transitions, Donut Economics Applied to Sustainable Tourism Development. And I see it's already got over 700 views as of January 2022. So I think it's going to be very well cited and read and cited. So congratulations, Shirley. Thanks for joining.
Let's hope so. And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Tourism Geographies podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and look forward to seeing you again on the next episode. Should you have any ideas, questions, or comments that you'd like to feed through to the production team of the Tourism Geographies podcast, please feel free to make contact with us. To find out more about Tourism Geographies, the journal, you can go to Google and type in Tourism Geographies, and soon enough you'll be directed to our journal website. Until next time, take care and safe travels.